Hi, welcome. It's Colin Power again with another broadcast from Into Infinity. We're going to be continuing our topic on time and space. A lot of people are interested in some of the time and space stuff. We're going to go back to our model that we drew last week, which was we made a cross. We can put over that another circle there. That's a space one. We remember we divide space into four, and that's how we created the concept of the meter. Yeah, by dividing the Earth into four, and we can put a hexagon over the Earth circle, if you like, the other circle, and that's the time circle. Okay, so that's where we got to with our last broadcast. You can just tune into that if you didn't get that model. Just bring us up to scratch. I wanted to develop that model a little bit because I just showed you a little bit about how the things about the distortions when we just use normal mathematics. But actually, and I want to show you that actually it's a function of scale in a sense. Because what we can do is we can start to look at ratios by dividing the space function into smaller parts. So, as we said, what we want to do is really, we want to say that in each meters of space, isn't there, yeah? You could say, if there's a million meters in that quarter circle, as we said last time, then there's 2,160 degree units of a second. So we don't have to stick with that. What we can do is we can zoom in and we can just say, right, rather than let's change the space function a little bit, and what we'll just take one of those little sections of 360 seconds, yeah, which would be an hour's worth of time, yeah, and then we can adjust the space function, so that will be dividing space by six, yeah, so 1/6, yeah. And that will create us a function which is a relationship now and a ratio, isn't it? Yeah. So what we can do is let's just put the number 36 or 360 at the top, and let's say let's count 10 seconds. Yeah. So we can take the zero off. That's easier, isn't it? Yeah. And then we can change the scale on the number 6 to be every 10 meters, so that makes that easier, doesn't it, yeah? So now we get the number 36/6, which is very cool, isn't it? Yeah. And what we find is that if we go 24 divided by 4, we get the number 6 as well. So look at this, we've got the we've got two types of time here, yeah? If you think of it like that, we've got 24 divided by 4, yeah, which is our hour function, and our 36 divided by 6, which is our second function. You know, in a way, because we've got a kind of break in our time space, haven't we? Because we don't count 36 hours in a day, do we? We count 24 hours, so we're missing a third off that, yeah? But so we have to compensate for that, and we can do that there with this equation. You see how that kind of works? And what we notice, for those people who are very astute, is that the function here of 6, yeah, and 6 squared, yeah, that's right, 6 squared, isn't it? It's 36. So you can see where that appears in the calculations, yeah, 24 divided by 4 equals 6, 6 squared equals 36. And then 36 divided by 6 is there, isn't it, yeah? So it's all there, and but what we find is that the 4 is not there. The 4 is not squareable, and it doesn't appear in that equation. But when we look at the cosmic background radiation, and we talked about the constants previously of E0, epsilon 0, being, we could say, 1/36 pi, and the function of U0 being 4 pi. And what we have here then is, once we get rid of the pi, is we can see it actually apparent in the balancing of time and space itself, yeah? And so that's really handy. We could do a few things with that, can't we, yeah? What we can say is, let's look at the cosmic background radiation function, which was, remember, it's 4 times 3 equals 12, yeah? So that we had that, didn't we, yeah? Previously, when we looked at what's the function there. And if we look at the concepts here, what we have is, what else times 3? We've got 6 times 3 equals 18. Yeah, we've got 9 times 3 equals 36. and 8 times 3 equals 24. Why do I say those numbers? Well, it's actually to do with the speed of light. If you imagine, what we have to do is we have to times things by 3, don't we, yeah? And when we times those things by 3, like we times 4 by 3, it's going to be 12, 6 by 3 will be 24, and so forth, yeah? And so the speed of light now, can you see how it's how that number 3 can make that transformation from the 6, yeah, from the 4 times 3 equals 12, yeah, and then we can times that by 2 to get to 24. Actually, in Babylonian days, we only had a 12-hour day, not a 24-hour day, and that's where we derived our idea of time. But we doubled that because we just needed, you know, a tighter measurement once we got more, I suppose, more efficient with our time usage. Yeah. So what happens is that when we go here and we start to sort of realize that, you know, time and space and light, and when we square light, we get energy. So that's where we get our number 9. Yeah, 9 times 3 equals 36. You see, that's the energy function. So you can see how that all kind of ties together, doesn't it? It ties together into a nice pretty pattern and explains a lot, you know, about this this function of 3, which is kind of, you know, it's hidden in the equation. You don't see it. And that's because it's actually embedded in the hexagonal and square relationship. That's why you don't see it so much, yeah? So look, if we just remove that 36 and 24 out of the equation, 8 times 3 equals 24. That's a fairly good one, isn't it, yeah? And what we can say is then we've got the level one, which is 6 times 3 equals 18, which is a bit of a bizarre number. But what we're going to find out is that the 18 is actually related to the mass of the electron, actually, yeah? And so there's a whole function of stuff going on there. But I thought I'd just clarify this week a little bit more about some of that stuff regarding regarding some of the numbers and how they kind of work. And once you start to put out these numbers in front of you, you start to simplify a lot of the science, you know, and you start to understand more and more about how it kind of works. So we're still at the sort of cosmic background radiation. We haven't gone into electrons yet. But as you can see, already we've just by adjusting the time-space function, you know, the ratio of, like, you know, just reducing the amount of the circle that we're measuring, we can start to radically change the mathematical results and bring them into a more sensible kind of ratio of time-space. And so now time-space becomes like a segment of pi, if you like, in that regard, the movement of one segment through the circle, which in this case will be a sixth of a quarter. So 6 times 4. Yep, that's right. 24. So we've brought a time into balance, basically, haven't we? And that means that we can now work with our space function more effectively. Okay, so that's in a way what you can think about. We can use these sorts of ideas to tune our quantum calculations when we do time-space calculation. That allows us to more easily understand how it kind of fits into the puzzle of reality. So that's why I'm giving you this information. You can do a few little things about rotating, rotating triangles, a set of triangles in a hexagon, and you'll get the three rotation, one, two, three, double triangles, and if you get the same sort of thing, you get one, two, three, and you only fill a third of that cross, if you think of it. Yeah, let's take that square, rotate one, two, three, and we only get one third full. And that is why, in a way, that quite often we miss a quarter of the number. Yeah, we're only dealing with, you know, one quarter of the numbers, and we're missing the other three whole sets of numbers that haven't been used by normal mathematics. Only fourth dimensional mathematics really utilizes those. And that's why we can create the extra vectors of time and space, because we have those extra numbers incorporated into our mathematical calculations. And the time function then is the reason why algebra stops working, is, and all of the other stuff and prime number code goes out the window, is because we're changing time, and calculations then aren't calculations, they're dissolving numbers that are dissolving into infinity, which is how we calculate time space. Okay, so thank you very much, and that's Colin Powell for this week from Into Infinity. If you're new here, do check out some of our other broadcasts, because we've come quite a few ways along the path, and there's a few broadcasts back that you might want to catch up if to make more sense of what we're doing, and you can just follow along with your calculator and all that other stuff. So yeah, that's us for this week. We hope that's been useful for those who are looking at fourth dimensional mathematics and the atom and various things in time space, and we'll get more broadcasts on how you can use the calculator and some of our other funky models coming up shortly. So do stay tuned to Into Infinity. In the meantime, if you want to know more, sign up to our mailing list or at our website, intoinfinity.com, and we hope to see you there, joining part of our fourth dimensional community. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll catch you soon. Bye-bye.